Certainly good to be back with you. I appreciate Ron and Alan preaching for me last Sunday. And certainly we do appreciate anyone who's visiting with us today. We have some visitors. We're glad that you are here. Hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Hardly a decade after he completed law school, Charles or Chuck Colson held an illustrious White House staff position under President Richard M. Nixon. He served Nixon faithfully for 3 years, and then he and several others drowned in the flood of Watergate. That promising young lawyer, who was really going places, went to prison. And listen to what Chuck Colson said after he served his prison sentence. All my achievements meant nothing in God's economy. No, the real legacy of my life was my biggest failure, that I was an ex-convict. My greatest humiliation, being sent to prison, was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. He chose the one experience in which I could not glory for his glory. Confronted with this staggering truth, I discovered that my world was turned upside down. I had been looking at life backwards. It's not what we do that matters, but what a sovereign God chooses to do through us. God does not want our success. He wants us. He does not demand our achievement. He demands obedience. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of paradox, where through the ugly defeat of a cross, a holy God is utterly glorified. Victory comes through defeat, healing through brokenness, finding self through losing self. Certainly he learned some great lessons, and certainly we're thankful that he did. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning verse 1 through verse 10, he wrote about this. He said, boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times, that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What a great passage. I know that was a lengthy reading, but wonderful passage for us to consider today. Paul's life was radically changed, much like yours may have been. The original 12 apostles were very common men. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors, and on and on. And they were Galileans, except for Judas. That meant they had no formal training or education. And in Jewish orthodoxy and traditions, they were not strong. They did not know all of those. But it was very different with Saul, who later was renamed Paul. And although he was not numbered among the original 12 apostles, he was regarded by God as an apostle because he received a special commission from God, from Jesus Christ. And certainly he learned all of these things and he saw Jesus Christ in the resurrected form. Saul was an up-and-coming Hebrew of Hebrews, we learn in Philippians 3, verses 5 through 6. He told about the things that made him a strong Jew. He was circumcised 8 days after his birth. He was a Pharisee. He zealously persecuted the Lord's church and did this with a clear conscience, thinking that he was serving God in so doing. He was regarded righteous and blameless according to the Jewish interpretation of the law of Moses. But when that bright light from heaven blinded him on the road to Damascus, the Jewish spotlight was no longer on Saul as their up-and-coming star. And the Lord told Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Can you imagine? Here is a man who's willing to give up everything, and yet this man goes to him and speaks to him and says, "You're going to suffer for the name of Christ. You may be giving up everything, but you're going to suffer for his name." And Saul would go before Jewish leaders, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ instead of reviling his name as he did before. Who would have dreamed that a Hebrew of Hebrews would minister to the Gentiles, welcoming them into the kingdom of God? But Saul, or Paul, did exactly what God had commissioned him to do. He gave up everything. He never looked back. Or maybe I should say, Paul gained everything through his service to Jesus Christ. He said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 8 through verse 10, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So we see through these verses that we have looked at that God's power was reflected in Paul's weakness. With Paul's background and with his training, you would think that he would regard himself and expect the other apostles to regard him as the apostle who was several steps above the others. You would expect him to boast in some of the things that he had gone through in his life. But that was not Paul's attitude at all. Listen to what he said about himself. I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove to be vain, that I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You can tell that through his writings and through the things that were written about him, he felt compelled to work harder than any of the other apostles because he did not believe he was fit to be called an apostle. But he also realized it was not those works that would save him. It was only the grace of God that would save him. There's little doubt about the fact that Paul was writing about himself in the verses we looked at earlier. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 through 4 again. I know a man in Christ. Remember this, he's talking about himself, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I don't know or out of the body I don't know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. Well, the Jews believed that the first heaven was where the clouds were. The second heaven was where the sun and moon and stars dwelt. And the third heaven was the dwelling place of God himself. So Paul was escorted in by God into paradise, either in body or in spirit. And he saw things and heard things which were inexpressible and forbidden to share. Now that could have been something about which Paul could boast. No one else had done that. But Paul was often forced to defend his apostleship. He could have often referred to this event to prove his elite standing with God. Who else could boast about such an experience? But Paul stated that his divinely escorted trip to the third heaven was not his claim to fame. So what did Paul boast about? Well, he said that he boasted about his weakness. God provided Paul with a marvelous heavenly experience. But God also permitted Satan to bring Paul down to earth to keep him from exalting himself. And Satan gave Paul a thorn in the flesh, we're told in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, We're not told what that thorn in the flesh was. But there's been a great deal of speculation about that, which I will not go into in this sermon. But we do know that it was severe enough that Paul approached God in prayer on three separate occasions to ask that God remove it from him. Does this remind you of the time when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus told Peter and James and John to wait and to keep watch. Three times he rebuked them for sleeping. As he was straining, as he was agonizing in prayer, they were tired. They slept. We know that in those three prayers, Jesus offered the same prayer three times. Mark records this prayer in Mark 14, verse 39. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Did God hear his only begotten Son's prayer? Well, certainly he did. But the cup of suffering was not removed even from his own Son. Yet God's will was done. Did God hear Paul's prayer? Yes, he did. But he did not remove his thorn in the flesh. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And certainly that's a great lesson for you and for me today, that God's grace is sufficient for us in every form of our lives. Everything that we go through, all the struggles, all the sufferings, all the difficulties, if we would just remember to say, God's grace is sufficient for me. Sometimes it is through the cup of suffering that God is glorified. Have you ever wondered why Paul's statement about boasting about his weaknesses was meaningful to the Corinthian Christians? The Corinthians had a problem with boasting. Some of them boasted that they were baptized by Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Christ, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. And some of them boasted about their miraculous spiritual gifts. Not all of them had those spiritual gifts. And those who had received a gift boasted that their gift was better than all the other gifts, although every gift was given from the Holy Spirit. And Paul undoubtedly had several miraculous gifts. And he had the unique experience of going into third heaven. He had many other things in his resume about which he could have boasted. But his boasting was not in those strengths, but in his weakness. And in that weakness, the power of the Lord was glorified. As we were studying this morning in 1 John, the fourth chapter, John said about God, certainly he is greater than the devil. Certainly we need to understand that he has more power than Satan has. And so what is the message for you and me? Well, how many times have you excused yourself from some service to the Lord and his church because you were too weak or didn't have enough biblical knowledge or were afraid to get up in front of an audience? Well, let me tell you, from this text, I believe he's saying, you are the very one that God wants. Maybe more so than those who are studious and those who have a great knowledge of the Bible and those who are accustomed to getting up in front of a crowd. But God wants you, not because of your greatness, but because of your weakness. And he wants to be glorified in you. And he does that by being glorified in your weakness. The strong can boast in their own merit, but the weak are forced to give all the glory to God. Again, remember what Jesus said. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Are you letting the power of God be perfected in you through your weaknesses? That is my question for you and for me this morning. And we certainly need to glorify God in all that we do, but there are things that we can do that maybe we have not done before. And how can we do that? Through the power of God. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, if you need to be baptized into Christ, or if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.